So good to see you this morning. Got a lot of scripture to go over because I want to answer a question. So I'm going to start in Matthew, number of scriptures from Matthew. If you've got your Bible, love to invite you to follow along. If you don't, we'll have it on the big screen for you. I want you to see what the scripture says. It's important always to know what the scripture says. I've said it a lot of times before. I'll say it again. Don't take what I say so much as you take what the word says. We need to allow the word to speak to us, to lead us, to mold us, and to guide us. So that's why I always ask you, if you've got your Bible or you're reading your Bible, it's so important that you understand what the Word of God says. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to read a scripture, then I'm going to ask you the question I'm going to answer. And hopefully we'll make all these scriptures come together. I'm in Matthew 7, a statement here by Jesus in the verses 13 and 14. He's telling his listeners, you know the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You know he's spoken a multitude of things to them. He's getting near the end of the presentation. And he says this, Matthew 7, 13, enter by the narrow gate. Now that may not mean a lot to them in this setting. So he elaborates. They might be thinking, what do you mean? Why would you say that? He elaborates after he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Okay, so now he's broadened that topic a little bit. He's talking about two roads, two gates. So he's challenging his listener. He's challenging us, enter by the narrow gate because there is another one. And it's a wide gate. It's a broad road, and that one is leading to destruction. And then he says, he builds on that, he says, there are many who go in by it. That's the wide gate. That's the broad road that leads to destruction. I knew I had some kind of force, but I didn't know that kind. That's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, disregard the man behind the curtain. Back to Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it's all right, just leave it. Enter by the narrow gate, he said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many on that broad road. And then he said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's very important that we understand what he's saying here. There's two roads in life. There's a broad road that millions and billions of people are on. That road leads to destruction. I'm not condemning anybody. That's what Jesus said. There is a broad road that because of inherited sin in the Garden of Eden, we find ourselves, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We find ourselves on that broad road. That's why he said you must enter in at the narrow gate. We need to get off the broad road. Here's the reason I'm addressing this today. A couple weeks ago, I was asked a question. I love it when people ask biblical questions. That means they're reading it. And I challenge you all the time, read the word. Don't take Jim's word for it. Read the word. Take that word for it. And so, as she was working her way through some scripture, she comes to this passage. And she sends this question, why does it say very few will enter heaven? A good question. And then she follows up with this, like, wow, what a discouragement. Because if you think about it, we're thinking few will enter heaven versus many won't. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? That's what prompted the question. It's a good question. Why does it say very few will enter heaven? I want to answer it this way. I gave her a very abbreviated answer, but I want to show us from Scripture some of the why. Why did Jesus say very few will find that gate? And yet masses, multitudes, are on the way to destruction. I want to answer that with some Scripture. Matthew 22, there's a great story there. It's a parable that Jesus elaborates just a little bit on this why. And so I just want to touch on two or three of these places in Scripture to help us understand a little bit about the why. Here's the story in Matthew 22. I'm just going to read five verses of this story. It's a little longer than that. It says this, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like." So when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's starting to talk about eternity. He's starting to talk about eternal matters, spiritual matters. He'll give them a parable as a earthly flavor, but it's got a heavenly, a spiritual meaning. And so he says in these parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged for his a marriage for his son. We know what he's talking about. God the Father is putting together the bride for his son, the bridegroom, to come to heaven to enjoy the heavenly kingdom. And so he says the kingdom of heaven is like this certain king. He's arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And astonishingly, Jesus said, they were not willing to come. Who rejects that? Well, obviously, people do. And he goes on. And again, Jesus is telling this story about his Father creating this place, this eternity that's perfection with him. He sent out the invitation, and people were not willing to come. Then he says again, so he sent out more. I'm going to send out some more invitations. Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and the things are ready. Come to the wedding. It's almost like God is pleading, will you come to the banquet? Look at what Jesus said. This answer just is mind-boggling to me, but here's what he said. But they made light of it. They went about life. One went back to his own farm. Another went back to his business. The story goes on a little bit. You can read that further this afternoon if you want to. The point is that heaven has been prepared. God has provided to us. He has provided to us his son. He has provided to us a place. He has provided to us his spirit. And many are not willing to come. Does that blow your mind, friends? I don't need it. I got things to do. Why is there so few? Because some will say, I got things to do right now. I don't have any interest in that. Matthew 25, he tells another story. It's another parable. Jesus said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, I know that you know the story, and so I'm not going to read the whole story. It's a good story, too. It's another picture being painted by Jesus to enlighten us. Here's what it says. The kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay, there was going to be a wedding celebration. 10 people had their lamps with them. And then Jesus said, 5 of them are wise, 5 are foolish. Well, what differentiates between wise and foolish? Here's what he says. Those who were foolish, excuse me, took their lamps but didn't take any oil with them. Now, if you read the rest of that, and you can this afternoon, you see how they're waiting, they're anticipating. All 10 knew that he was coming. But 5, he said, were wise, 5 were foolish, 5 had prepared long term. They all had their lamps, but only 5 had oil to carry them through in case he didn't come back tonight. So in essence, what he's saying here is, in this parable, some are very aware of what the Bible says. Some are very aware of the teachings of Jesus. He will come again. And do nothing to get ready. They're aware of it. All 10 are aware of the bridegroom coming. And Jesus says in this, he calls them the wise and the foolish because 5 were ready, and 5, even though they knew in their mind he's going to come, they weren't ready. Why are so few on the narrow road that have passed through the narrow gate? Because as Jesus elaborates in these parables, in this one particularly, some simply will not get ready. They are aware intellectually about God. They are aware intellectually that perhaps the Bible is even reasonably true, and that perhaps Jesus will come again. And they still didn't get ready. That's part of the why. Matthew 19, Jesus tells another story. Actually, this is not a story. This is not a parable. This is real life for Jesus when he was here. Matthew 19, picking it up at verse 16. Now behold, one came to him and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, that's Jesus to the inquirer, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said, "Which ones?" So Jesus elaborates. He said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have done. I've done them from my youth. What still do I lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, friends, this is a matter of a heart condition. He was physically able to go through the motions of keeping some of those commands, but his heart was not ready or willing to follow Jesus. He was able to go through the commands. "I have, in fact, not stolen or killed. I have, in fact, honored my mother." And Jesus said to him, "Do you really want to follow me? Then sell what you got." Jesus knew he was rich. "Then sell what you got, because then your heart and your treasure will be in the right place, and come follow me." And the Bible says he couldn't do it. Why so few was the question? Because some have ignored the invitation, gone about our own business. Some have known about the ways of God and not prepared. And some have made the decision, "I like the way things are going right now. I don't need to change. I'm not willing at this point to change enough to sell everything to follow Christ." Those are some of the wise, so few. Are you still with me this morning, friends? Let me say this about that particular little passage. This man come to Jesus with a legitimate question, and I believe an inquiring heart. but was unwilling to change. Now, here's the scenario and the phenomenon for today. And it could have been the case with this rich young man. Many say they want to know God. You still with me? Many say, well, Jim, I believe in God. Or many will even say, I kind of want to know more about God. But they want God on their terms. You hearing me? I want God as a, let us go to the other end of the spectrum, and if I'm in trouble, I need a genie in the bottle kind of a God. Until then, I'm fine. I want God on my terms. It's not going to work. He is God, we are not. And way too often times today, we perhaps find ourselves like the rich young person that said, I have kept the mechanics of religion, but my heart is still not ready to follow Jesus. That's part of the why there are so few. I'm trying to discern which scriptures I should go to and which I shouldn't because of time. I'm going to invite you to look at Matthew 23:15. This is a hard saying, but some of the why. Matthew 23:15, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of the day. And he says to them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and he calls them hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. These are the religious leaders of the day. Hypocrites. And then he explains why he makes a statement. If you read Matthew 23, he's made that statement about 10 times. And there's a variety of reasons, but I've chosen one here because it applies to the answering of why so few. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Some of your Bibles will say converts. You travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, in other words, when you have gained him into your religion, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves. That's a hard saying. It was true then, it's true now. If we are out trying to, and they were, trying to gather somebody that's not in the fold and bring them into the fold, and that's what they were doing, trying to bring them into Judaism. If we are trying to bring somebody into religion at the expense of Christ, they're still on the broad road. And not only that, he said, you've made it so hard for them, they're twice as much a son of hell as you are yourself. The why, part of the why. Are there so few? Because as Jesus said to the religious leaders there, you're leading them in the wrong direction. That's a very serious matter. Because if the religious leaders can't be trusted to lead somebody in the right direction, then what do we got left? That's a very serious matter. If I am only trying to lead you, that's why I tell you all the time, read the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. I'm not that bright. The Word is good. The Word is truth. But if in religion, all I'm trying to do is lead somebody to religion and going through the mechanics of religion and excluding Christ, I'm still on the broad road and I fall into the category where Jesus said, religious leader, you just made that person twice as much a son of hell as you are. That's a very serious matter. It's still happening today. Jesus, listen to me, friends. Jesus is not about religion. Are you still with me? Some of you, if you had tomatoes, you'd probably throw them at me. Jesus is about relationship. If we want to have a relationship with God the Father, and if we want to get off the broad road that leads to destruction, we've got to go through Jesus, not the preacher. Jesus. He's the one, I think it's in John 10:7. I'm just thinking. He's the one that said, I am the gate. Another story, you can look it up in John when he talks about the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. And he also says, I am the gate. I'm not discrediting religion. I'm saying let us not get our faith in religion. Our faith needs to be in the Son of God. Because if my faith is in religion, Jesus just said, you're missing it. Very serious matter. Let me interject here just a little bit before I wrap it up. Part of the why, I'm still answering the question, part of the why. And some might think, well, God has made this narrow gate so skinny, I can't even get through it. Well, God has made this road so narrow, I can't even find it. But listen to the heart of God. From per the scriptures, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the heart of God. But God, we all know John 3:16. We probably all know Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love towards us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the heart of God. You still with me, friends? He hasn't made this some exclusive club that's so hard you can't find it. We have not entered into the narrow gate in humanity because of personal choice. Well, I know, I seen the invitation, but I didn't think an RSVP was necessary, so I never sent it back. I went back to the farm, I went back to the factory. Well, I knew something about the Bible, referring to the 10 virgins, but I didn't think, you know, you had to be ready the whole time. That's why. It's personal choice. And I've said this to you dozens of times over the years. No choice about Jesus is a choice for eternity. If I do not choose Christ as Lord and Master and Savior for me, it is a decision about eternity. The heart of God, according to 2 Peter 3:9, is that none should perish. Nobody. Paul says the same thing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He says the same thing. The heart of God is that all should be saved. That's the heart of God. It is personal choice that there's few going through here and there's masses still here. It's personal choice. It's not God's fault. It's ours. If we don't leave the broad road and enter through the narrow gate, it's our choice. You say, well, Jim, I'm in church. I taught Sunday school. I got baptized, whatever. Have you been born of God? Because Jesus told Nicodemus, another religious leader, I'm not going to refer to it. It's in your notes. You can look at it later. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's part of the why. So few. Unless you're born of the Spirit, he said to Nicodemus, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's part of the why so few. Well, Jim, I taught Sunday school. Well, I gave a few bucks on the offering plate. I went to church a few times. Have you been born of God? Have you repented of sin, embraced Christ as Savior and Lord, and committed, I'm going to follow Jesus? That's what he asks of us. That's the way to get off the broad road and get onto the narrow. That's the only way according to Jesus. Let me say this, and I'll pull it all together for us in answering this question. Why does it say very few will go to heaven? It can be discouraging. Like she said, wow, what a discouragement. But it doesn't have to be. We don't have to be in the crowd that knew the invitation was sent and did nothing about it. You hear me? We don't have to be the non-responsive to the invitation. We don't have to be the ones, well, I knew something about the Bible, Jim. I heard about it something once upon a time. We don't have to be the ones that are unprepared. We can be prepared today. Hallelujah! We can. We don't have to be the one that have all our faith eggs in the basket of religion. Our faith needs to be in Christ. So we don't have to be on the broad road. Enter by the narrow gate, he said. And then he said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way, there are few who find it. That's not his desire. That's not the desire of the Father in heaven. It's personal choice that makes that statement a reality. It's my choice, or yours, or everybody else's. What will I do with Jesus? God has not made this narrow gate so hard that you can't find it, or I can't, or the next person can't. Let us not blame God for not choosing the narrow gate. Is that not what he said to them? Enter in by the narrow gate. And if we do not enter in by the narrow gate, let us not blame God for making it too hard. The other part of that verse, that statement that Jesus made was this: for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. There's 7 point something billion people on the globe today. There's been a few billion from here back 2,000 years to the time of Jesus, but we've got the largest population on earth ever. There's 7 point something billion. And according to what Jesus said, multitudes of those billions are on the road to destruction. Shall I simplify that just a little bit? That's hell. You say, Jim, I'm not sure I believe in hell. Well, the Bible talks about it, and it talks about a fair amount. And Jesus is saying that billions are on the road to hell. Religion is good, but it won't save you. Keeping the commandments are good for us, but it won't save you. But Jesus will. And so, when Jesus makes his statement, and like I closed last week with Matthew 7, 21 through 23, church, I want us to think about that statement. Many That's not the word of Jim. That's not the condemnation from Jim. That's what Jesus said. That's just a reality. That's not the heart of God. It's not why Jesus died. It's because of personal choice. Many are still on the broad road and they will not get off. Let us not blame God for that. That's our choice. But many are still there. And as I look at life, and I think of the proverbial stream, this one's a little stiff out here with ice, this river right now, but it'll open up again and we'll see the river flowing again. And I think of the river of life. It's easy to just flow down the river of life doing what the masses are doing. It's not easy to go upstream. That's what he's asking of us. This is not a denomination thing. Lest you think, oh, Jim, you're just preaching about some denomination. No, I'm not. Jesus didn't say no denomination, neither have I. This is a, have I gotten off the broad road that leads to destruction and I've gotten through the narrow gate through Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord thing. That's what it is. But the problem is, and Jesus elaborates on this because it's important. The problem is the river is floating down the river. The stream is floating down the stream. That's easy. It's not easy to sell everything I've got as he asked the rich young man to come follow him. Now, he may not ask you to do that. But he may. It's a heart condition. Am I willing? Am I willing to go with him? No matter where, no matter what. Because when he said, if you're going to be my follower, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross to follow me, we got to be willing. He may not ask you to sell everything. But he's going to ask you, are you willing to follow Jesus? Just like he asked me a long time ago. The heart of God is that none should perish, that all should come to repentance and to salvation through Christ. That is the heart of God. But the fact of the matter is, multitudes will never get off the broad road that leads straight to hell because they will not realize the only route to the through the narrow gate is Jesus. That's a tragedy. We'll go back to the business. We'll go back to the farm. We'll do nothing about the invitation. These stories paint the picture of the why. I want to say this to close, and we're going to sing Just As I Am. Jesus said in this verse, the narrow gate is not easy. He didn't say in this exclusive club that I've only said a handful can get through. He said it's not easy. He didn't say it's impossible. And I've read, and so have you, where the Bible says all things are possible with God. And so while it may not be easy to deny myself, my pleasures, my wants, my agenda, my this, that, and the other thing. And that may not be easy. It's doable through Christ and His Spirit. It's all doable. He wouldn't have asked us to do something that was impossible when He said, enter in the narrow gate. He wouldn't have asked us to do that if it was impossible. It is not impossible. It is doable through Christ. I said this earlier. I don't know if I said it this time or not. I think I said it earlier service. I don't think I said it this service. Charles is here at both. He can correct me if I'm wrong. You can't have one foot in both paths. Did I say that this service yet? This one too? Just the first one. See, that's why I keep him around. Keep me on the straight and narrow. You can't have one foot on the road that leads to destruction and one on the narrow road that leads to life. That's what a lot of people want to do. Jesus mentioned that in John 3:19 when he said the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. They want one foot in each camp. I want my sin and I want to be in church at the same time. Ain't gonna work. He said light has entered into humanity and men loved darkness rather than the light. You can't have one foot in both. Either both feet are squarely in the broad road that leads to destruction, or you have repented of all sin. Repentance means turning away from who I used to be and turned to Christ as Lord and entered in the narrow gate. It's one or the other. It can't be both. You've got to decide, because only you and the Lord know. Have I gotten off the broad road and I gotten on the narrow through Christ? Or am I going to end up in destruction because I never got off the broad road? Only you can decide that. I can't do it for you. Charles can't do it for you. Your spouse, your kids, your parents, they can't do it for you. It's only you. And so we're going to close now. I've taken enough time. Jane, Jess, we're going to close. And we're going to sing this beautiful song that Billy Graham invited his choir to sing so many times. And I want you to think, friends, I want you to think very, very clearly, which road am I on? Am I on the road to religion? Am I on the road that I've ignored the invitation? Am I on the road that, well, I know some of this is real, I'm pretty sure it is, but I haven't gotten ready. Which road are you on? Last Sunday, after I got done with the second service, there was a phone call for me. We were planning for the annual meeting. You know, some of you are here. Some of you were able to go to it. And no sooner did I get done with the second service, and there was a phone call waiting for me, and I went and took the phone call. It was a very dear friend of mine who told me, he was in tears, he's in his 80s, and he told me that one of your church people, her 19-year-old son, he died this morning. He committed suicide. That's the phone call that was waiting for me when I got done a second service. That dear friend of ours, who's part of our congregation, she's not here today, buried her grandson yesterday. There were other funerals in the region yesterday and the day before and the day before, and there'll be more funerals Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the next. We've got about so much time. We've got about so many breaths. We might get to be 19 and we might get to be 90, but somewhere in that range, we will take our last breath. And if we have never decided about Jesus, and I don't mean a casual head knowledge, yeah, I believe in God. If I have never decided I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to commit my life to Christ because he's the one that died on that cross for me, then we're still on the broad road. If sin is still more important to me and the ways of the world is still more important to me, then I'm still on the broad road. We got about so much time to figure it out. I answer this question for us today because I don't want to see people on the broad road. I don't want to be confusing people. It's okay on the broad road. It's not okay. It will have eternal consequences that will not go well for eternity. And so while we're singing this song, if you're not sure which road you're on, you just cry out to the Lord right where you're at. Or if you want to pray with Charles or myself, we will pray with you. But you cry out to the Lord right where you're at. Say, Father, forgive me. You see, it all starts with repentance because we are sinners who need a Savior. It all starts with repentance. Father, forgive me. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you loved us so much you sent him. I believe he's the Savior of the world. And I receive him by faith. That's what John 1:12 says. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who called upon his name. Repent, believe, receive, and commit to follow Jesus. That's getting us off the broad road and getting us on the narrow. It's doable because of Jesus. God really is good, friends. And even though that narrow gate picture seems difficult, it's doable through Jesus. And so we need to come, just like this song, we need to come to him by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. He asks us to come by faith. I pray you'll do that if you haven't. And if you have, I pray that you'll encourage others to. Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for loving us when we weren't lovable. Thank you for demonstrating your love towards us, as the Word says, and while we were still sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you for loving us that way. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for our sin so that we don't have to stay on the broad road. We don't have to end up in destruction. We don't have to go to hell. Nobody does. That's not your will, Father. We see that from Scripture. Thank you for providing to us the way, the truth, and the life that is in Jesus. I just pray, Lord, for our community. I pray, Father, for church people and unchurched. This congregation, yes, but all congregations and people that don't have time or care to go to church. I pray, Father, that people would realize Jesus is the answer and that we would take that step of faith and simply say, Father, forgive me. I've been doing things my way. I want to follow Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me. I want him as Lord and Savior for my life. I'm committing my life to you. I'm going to follow Jesus. I pray that, Father, for our communities, our nation. I pray that this week even, your Spirit would touch hearts and draw people to yourself and save. Go with us this day, Father. There's a lot of sick friends out there. There's a lot of hurting friends. Father, will you heal bodies? Will you strengthen broken hearts? Will you forgive us of our sin? And will you help us do by faith what we need to do to get off the broad road and enter in the narrow gate? Go with each and every one that's here today, Father, and bless them. Walk with them this week. I'll ask you to just take care of them and save. In Jesus' name, amen.